Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you throw it just 51%, everybody wonders, is he slipping? Have things changed? Do those thoughts run through your brain, and has anything changed in your mind about your performance this year as opposed to last year when you were an MVP?
Well, you know, everything's different from one year to the next. I think you keep working at it in the same way. Those things haven't changed for me. I'm sure some of my statistics have changed, but, you know, I think you got to look at, I feel good out there, and I feel like, do I want to play better? I absolutely want to play better. I want to play as best as I possibly can for my team. You know, certainly yesterday was not a great performance. I got to go out there and play my very best these next 6 weeks to give our team the best chance.
Tom Brady from just a couple of days ago. I want to thank Roach Brothers for bringing in a very large spread here for lunchtime at the Sports Hub.
Job, Roach Brothers.
That people have come out of all the holes in this place.
A lot of traffic back
here.
Wow.
Do you know that it was the first food store I ever ate at? I used to live at Medway my first year here back in the early 90s.
That's a good story, Zoe. Find all their offerings, tailgate recipes, store locations, and more at roachbrothers.com. That's ROCHEBROS.com. Roach Brothers is responsible for all the food today. Yeah, back to your story. I just want to get through that.
Tommy Hodson introduced me to it. He's like, man, you hungry? Let's go eat. Because Roach Brothers in, Milford. It was on the Milford line on 109. Had a hot bar that you could actually go and eat at the at the food store. So you do your food shopping, get your food from the hot bar, and sit and eat at tables at the actual Roach Brothers there. So I'm like, wow, this place is great.
And Jim, is the food gone? Do you see how much food was out there?
Look, it's too bad.
Jimmy Stewart looks like befuddled. Like he's like just overwhelmed.
I've never seen this many people flock to the studio before.
Stu looks overwhelmed back there.
It's unbelievable. Give us a report,
Jim. What's left, Jim?
What's left?
There's about a little less than half of the five-foot sandwich left and about half of the wings, probably.
Oh, that's good.
All right, good. I want to try the wings.
Plenty of food. Yeah.
I want to try the wings.
I grew up on Sudbury Farms, which is Roach Brothers.
Yes.
And now we go to the Roach Brothers all the time in Marshfield. They're actually opening one in Duxbury, too,
Look
which I was
you.
Talking to the guy about.
Wow.
So I'm a big Roach Brothers guy.
We go to the Cape in the Mashpee. Very nice one in Mashpee.
And it's the first grocery store Zoe's ever been to. Or something like that.
They didn't have them in Pittsburgh.
It's the first store we ever ate in.
Yeah, first time we ever ate in a store.
Giant Eagle. We have a Giant Eagle in Pittsburgh. That's the big one.
Yep.
617-779-0985.
Got Kroger out there?
I got a question.
Kroger?
About Tom Brady for you, Burt Breer.
Yep.
Is Tom Brady hurt?
I don't have any evidence that he's hurt. It looks to me like the offense lacks an identity right now. And there's always been something that they can hang their hat on. And, you know, I think he struggled with that early in the year. The first month of the season, he clearly missed Edelman, as Zoe was saying earlier in the show, because that's the guy he goes to when he has to have it. And right now, it looks like the offense lacks an identity. Like they're just trying to get by on a drive-to-drive basis. And I think part of that is that Gronk's been hurt, so that takes a little bit of that away. I think part of that is that Edelman has struggled some, and part of that's been incorporating Gordon into the offense. And so I said a few weeks ago, I thought the offense was fixed. I still think the offense is capable. I think what they lack right now is an identity in that, like, when it's third and long, where do you go?
They lack rhythm whatsoever.
When you're in trouble, where do you go? You know, and I think
Edelman and Amendola.
It's interesting because I talked to, over the weekend, I talked to Matt Nagy about what they'd done for Trubisky. And he said,
was Jim Stouch there?
One of the things that they're working towards there with Trubisky is, he wants to get to the point where they have five plays they can go to, right? He said that's the way it was with Alex Smith. Like, they got to the point where if we get in trouble, there's these group of plays that we can go to, and we know that, he's going to feel comfortable running them. And it feels like the Patriots don't have the things that they have in the past to fall back on.
How do they not have a rub route or a cross beater where it's a double pick? You know, they always have that double pick play. Yep. You got to know how to run it. like Amendola is so good at that. I think they really miss Amendola. I do.
Yeah.
Well, I think that might be true, but I also think there are some plays if you look at them on Sunday.
Like you didn't try to run the ball.
He doesn't look like he trusts it. Like
he makes an effort to get the hell out of the way as there is pressure coming his way. Now, we know the highly publicized stat over the last couple of days is that Tom Brady has been the worst quarterback in the NFL against the blitz this year. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's been the worst. That's not typical Tom Brady. Typically, you have Tom Brady under pressure.
So do you think he's
Tom Brady's done a decent job of getting rid of the football at the very least.
It's who you've had to rely on, too. Like,
and we know there's a big difference between edge pressure with Tom Brady and getting it up the middle, because up the middle has always sort of hurt.
Do you remember when they went deep play action? They max protected him one play where he had all day to throw, and he's looking at Gordon. And it's a one-man route. So all you want to do is get Josh Gordon on in front of the safety like they did against the Colts. And Brady's like pointing, no, he's supposed to go this way. People are ripping him for not getting the ball down. That's a freaking throwaway.
Right.
The ball landed at the goal line for a reason.
It doesn't look like
Gordon went behind the safeties and then ran out of room.
Yeah,
he got to the back line.
That was the play. That was the play with like the double play action. There was the fake handoff to White and then the fake end around to Patterson.
It was supposed to be a slow development deep crosser across the face of the safety, and you're going to lay it out so he could go get it.
No.
He went all the way down the goal line.
I wouldn't put that on Brady. I mean, that's just a bad
play. People have been like, well, he underthrew him by like 10 yards.
Do you know what else I'm sort of starting to notice is that there's not much there for the Patriots on broken plays. That's it. Like, you either have what was designed on the play or you're
throw it in the dirt.
Yep. Or you throw it away. There's not much there.
He doesn't.
There's no
jailbreak type of plays here, so.
No.
Right? I mean,
they don't exist. Keep moving up, attack. I'm going to hit a 4th and 13.
Or a couple of years ago when Brady got so good at moving behind the line of scrimmage, right?
Right.
Or he was on a receiving end.
Well, he'd start moving. He'd start getting on the road because, you know, if I can hold this ball for another 2 or 3 seconds and get away from it, there's going to be somebody out there somewhere that I can find. That's not happening.
The two things that I noticed Sunday was, one, it didn't look like he trusted what he was looking at. Like, it didn't look like he trusted whether it's the defense or the guys he's playing with. I think it was pretty clear that he didn't trust what he was looking at. Right?
Even James Whitey dirt.
There were points when he saw things that weren't there. There wasn't the full on ducking, but it was clear that like he was feeling the rush when it wasn't there. And so that's a piece of it. The other piece of it is you look at how he falls now, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen him over the last few years do this. There's like the whole thing about falling in the fetal position.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't trust what you're looking at, that's going to look a whole lot worse. That's going to look like you're protecting yourself. And
which he is.
Right. And like how much of this has gotten in his head that I have to protect myself. I have to take care of my body. I have to, like, maybe some of that has started to get into his head.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about
dependability. Like I know they need me.
Right. And so
remember what he said at the beginning of the year? This team needs a great quarterback. He's not playing great right now.
Yeah, and so you look. I covered a half dozen of Favre's games his last year, right? And what I remember about that was you could see his clock was messed up. And someone told me after that that's always what you want to look for in older quarterbacks. And so you always want to like see, are they affected by things that aren't there? Are they not holding the ball for as long as they have in the past? Are they moving to get themselves out of trouble quicker than they may have in the past? Those are the sorts of things that you look for. And look, this is a single game. But you start to see, is his clock getting messed up? Like that internal clock that he has. Because one of the biggest advantages he's had over the course of his career is that he will hold the ball for longer. He will give guys a little bit longer to get open. He will take the hit. He's done that like where a guy like Peyton Manning wouldn't. And so if you're taking that out of his game, or if that's coming out of his game naturally now, like, that's a little bit of an issue.
Bert Breer is with us. Let's talk more about Tom Brady and what can maybe Tom Brady do and the team do to sort of recover from this. We'll talk about that. Also, don't forget, Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, will join us later in the hour at 12:50.
Here's the Action Update. Action Update. And also check out the Over Under 98.5 podcast on our 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The trade for Minnesota has been formalized. Tonight, Jimmy Butler makes his 76ers debut. Philadelphia is a 6-point favorite visiting Orlando. Also tonight, the Celtics are 12-point home favorites against the Bulls. The two football teams on a collision course for the MAC championship game have different roles tonight. Northern Illinois is a 6.5-point favorite at home against Miami of Ohio. Buffalo is a 2.5-point underdog at Ohio U. The Bruins are 15-cent favorites tonight visiting Colorado. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bert, what do they do to fix it? What can the Patriots do to alleviate their Tom Brady issue?
I think you find a way to build an identity on offense, and the good news is playing the Jets coming out of the bye, you might have some leeway to do that. I mean, it's getting Rob Gronkowski healthy.
That's, now it's like way up here.
Right there.
All right. I think you find a way to get Rob Gronkowski healthy.
There we go.
Even if it means, all right, even if it means going to him and saying, don't worry about your incentives. We're going to take care of you financially. Just get yourself right.
Ooh.
So that, I think, is number that's what I would do if I were them. I don't think they will, but that's what I would do if I were them. Okay? Number two, you have to find a way to get Edelman right also. So I think those two pieces are really taking care of those two guys and getting those guys in the position where they can play at their highest level are by far the easiest ways to get Brady more comfortable in there, because those are the guys that he feels comfortable going to when you have to have it.
That's interesting you said that, the first part.
Yeah.
About, okay, hey.
Don't worry about it.
I could see it like you're on the trip. Hey, you're deemed that you're 90, 93, 95%. You remember how effective you were in Pittsburgh last year.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we're all not stupid here. We know when we need you. Right.
Yep.
It's when it's money time. So I'm gonna deactivate. You're not playing this league. But relax. We're gonna take care of you.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, boom, focus back in. Rehab. I'm gonna do everything again, get healthy, because I don't have to worry about Papa Gronk or Team Gronk or Drew Rosenhaus and the whole Gronk brand. Like, what about this attack?
If I'm them, I think about it. If I'm them, I think about doing it.
Because what's if you don't have him and he's not right up here, I'm talking about up here.
Yep.
You're cooked.
Because if you show a player.
That's a great point.
If you show a player, I'm going to take care of you. All right. Don't worry about the incentives. We got you.
And I don't want to hear the other stuff of other players. Well, there's two players that are special here that we're talking about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else doesn't fall in line under that.
Yeah.
You don't have to have this conversation publicly to where the whole team knows.
That's what I would do is I would go to Rob and I would say,
doesn't he seem happy the last 2 weeks?
Maybe he got that. I mean, but like I would say, was it 4.3 that he can make in incentives? I just say to him, Rob, don't worry about it.
He stormed out.
We are going to take care of you. Even if this is your last year here, we are going to take care of you. You've been a special player for a long time. You've been playing on a below market deal for a long time. We've gotten a lot of value out of you as a player. So we're going to give you some value back. And we're going to say to you, we're going to take care of you financially. We want you mentally and physically to be in the right place when it really counts. Take care of yourself. Keep us updated on where you are. And when you're ready to ramp it up, we'll ramp you up.
That makes total sense. It really does. Because, I mean, quarterback, coach, and tight end, you're not in it to win divisions. This isn't about beating Miami. It's about winning the whole damn thing.
Right.
And if he ain't right, you ain't winning nothing.
Your road is getting harder right now.
But that's where you're going to need it.
You're making the road harder right now.
I mean, you mentioned Amendola. Without Amendola, Gronkowski and Edelman become more important. How many guys are on that offense?
We're talking about clutch players.
Like how many guys, we're also talking about
there's an issue when
you're dependent on Josh Gordon.
I think in the offense itself that Brady doesn't have the outs that he used to have.
Right.
I mean, is that fixed because you give Gronk more money? That sort of indicates that Gronk
it's fixed if
sort
it's,
of hasn't given the best effort because I'm not saying that.
Here's what I am saying to you, Beetle.
What?
If you like the key here is getting Gronk in the right place mentally and the right place physically. If I'm Gronkowski and I'm thinking this might be my last hurrah, like I might be done in February. Aren't you worried about every last dollar you're going to make? Because you don't know, like, you're never going to make money like this again.
Right.
So you are worried about that. Like, just from a human nature perspective, wouldn't you be concerned about it? And so if you, like, even if you're telling people you're not.
The ship
like,
that would be sort the, of sailed, as I've said many times now.
But, like, wouldn't that be getting in your head? Like, okay, well, I can still make these per-game roster bonuses. Like, I can still make that. So I got to push myself to get out there and make those. Mm. Like, I would just find a way. And maybe it's not giving them all the money. But I would find a way. Because the bottom line is, and I know how principled they are about the way they operate and never, you know, mortgaging things for the present and all that different stuff, right? Your quarterback's 41 years old. You have no idea how much longer this is going to last. You have got a Hall of Fame tight end who may be at the twilight of his career also. Okay?
Yep.
Why not go to him and give him the peace of mind to go and get himself in the best position he can be physically to give you as much as he can in December and January?
I mean, I get that, bro, but I'm talking about short term. Like, you've got to get right soon. You've got to get right offensively on the road against Miami, on the road against the Steelers. You can be right for the playoffs, but they got a lot of football left before they get to that point.
I know.
That's sort of my concern about this. 617-779-0985. Tom is in Newton. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. So, you know, we got Bill Belichick, you know, football mastermind, Ernie Adams, the whole brain trust. And you mean to tell me that this game plan now that we've seen, you know, going all the way back to Tom Coughlin, 07 in the Super Bowl, you know, send the guy up the middle at Brady, get him off his spot, cover the short middle area of the field, you know, now on offense like the Eagles in the Super Bowl and other teams have done, you know, dink and dunk with these cute little plays. You mean to tell me that, you know, we can't figure out that game plan, how to stop that? Because it's been several games now, going back a few years, you know, like the Eagles in the Super Bowl, Tennessee this week coming up at Brady. Like, you know, it seems like we should be able to expect that and figure out how to deal with that game plan now that teams are rolling out more and more. What will we do? Thanks.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more of it, too. Now, the easy thing is to tell the offensive line to play better. You know, get Shaq Mason healthy.
Right.
Get your, you know.
Trent Brown won, right? Trent Brown was not, like, he wasn't the same guy this week.
Yeah.
You know, he was out three. He was out 2 days. Supposedly sluggish before the game. Went back in to get an IV, and then ended up tweaking the back, which is not a long term thing. I don't even think it's the back. I just think it's, you know, it's probably dealing with something down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mike in New Hampshire. Hey, Mike. Mikey. Mike, you there?
Mike.
Nope, he's not there.
Oh,
wait. I think he might already be on another line. Is this the same Mike in New Hampshire? Mike.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to talk about how I think the matchup between the Vikings and Patriots is being underlooked. I think the Vikings, you know, they're a great matchup. They got a defensive-minded coach, and Mike Zimmer kind of falls in line with, like, the Patricia, the Vrabels, mm-hmm. the Coughlins. Their defensive line, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen Danielle Hunter, but I don't think he's the same species as me. The guy's an absolute freak. But Tom Brady's going to be on the run.
Human.
Yes. But that guy, I mean, Tom is going to be on the run the whole day. You got Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph, Sheldon Richardson.
Names.
And then not to mention, I mean, the wide receivers with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen.
Yeah, it's a good team.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're 5-3-1, and they've underachieved.
And they're playing here. That's part of it.
If you're they just got one of the best defensive players in football back in Everson Griffin. He was out for a month and a half with the whole, you know, mental health issue.
Bills suck, right? The Bills suck, right?
The Bills are bad.
Everybody has their throwaway game.
The Bills
problem
are bad.
For me, I watch every single play. I was stuck in that awful airport at Detroit watching that Buffalo Vikings game earlier in the year.
Yeah.
The Vikings got their ass kicked by Josh Allen and the Bills.
Buffalo, the one thing about Buffalo fights their ass off. Buffalo, like Sean McDermott,
they
has those guys
in
playing.
The red zone. They did.
Those guys play hard. It doesn't mean they're good. I think there's reason for optimism there. Oh. Like if the quarter, like everything obviously like rides on whether or not you get the quarterback right. But I like the way he's running that program. That team fights his ass off. We saw it last year and even now, like they're in this hopeless situation. And the contrast between them and the Jets on Sunday, like how different that looked.
Yeah.
Like the Jets looked like they didn't want to be there. And the Bills are out there just rubbing the Jets' face in the dirt.
Hopefully so the Jets will do that next week.
Buffalo's a team that can come up and Buffalo's a team where if you go into Sunday napping, they're going to catch you.
We've got one more segment with Burt Breer, and then we will talk to Brad Stevens at 12:50 here on Zolak at Bertrand. Hardy has headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics and Bruins both added tonight. As for the Celtics, they're home to take on the Chicago Bulls, and Coach Brad Stevens set to join us here in about 20 more minutes. The game will be on 105.7 WROR. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on the call pregame at 7 o'clock. Bruins are out west, beginning a four-game road trip. They take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight. That's a 9:30 pregame. Judd Surratt and Bob Ears have the call. Face off just after 10 o'clock here on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot. Monday night's game in Mexico City moved to the LA Coliseum due to poor field conditions in Mexico City.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh Gordon obviously has been playing well. You know, the hamstring thing came up, and then he went to New England, and he practiced right away with them. Do you second-guess it all the way that went down? If, you know...
No, I never second guess, but that's about as far as I'm going to answer the question, because unfortunately, you know, I would address that more, but he, you know, works for the New England Patriots right now, and I'm forbidden to talk about another team's players.
I thought you'd say that, but I'm more asking about the trade that you made than the player himself.
I'm fine with the trade.
That's John Dorsey, who had a press conference today in Cleveland. He was asked about the Josh Gordon trade. He stopped himself from talking about Josh Gordon because he's on another team. But he did say, I'd like to talk more about that, but I can't. Which tells me he wants to defend the move. He wants to defend why he felt the need to trade him, why he sent him to New England.
Well, he's trying to make the team his, right? These aren't his players.
Well, I told you guys, it was pretty cut and dry. Like, for a month, they were frustrated because he couldn't get into football shape.
Does he look in football shape now, are you?
Not really. I mean, like, I don't know what it is. Like the coaches there that I talked to said, like, it was the weirdest thing because it wasn't like he wasn't working at it. He was working at it. We just couldn't get him into football condition. And so they worked with that and everything else, and they got into a point of frustration with it. And then on Friday night before the opener, he goes out, and what happens? He goes out and does a promotional shoot for his Instagram page or whatever, and blows his hamstring, which is the type of injury that happens when you're not in football shape, right?
Like, it feels like Dorsey would love to get on the guy.
Yeah.
But he knows he can't.
Right.
The trade's done. The player's not on the team anymore. And that's why he's saying the things that he said.
Of course he would.
Right? That's why he's saying, well, I'd like to tell you more about that, but I can't.
In Dorsey's defense.
Which is saying that I want to say something bad, but I'm not going to say something bad.
In Dorsey's defense, too, they're in a much different position than the Patriots are. They're like, he's in his first year there, first full year there, and he had to know. Like, this has a lot of potential to turn into a circus, which it eventually did.
Oh, it's a circus.
And so you've got this player who's got all kinds of issues and who has a reputation of sort of going where the wind blows him, you know, like, if things are going great, then maybe he can be okay. If things are going bad, then you might have some issues. I can see why you'd move on from him. It makes sense.
I get it.
I mean, the reason they held on him for the reason
he's fine with the trade. He added that at the end.
The reason they held on to him for that long in the first place was because of this. Was like, well, we don't want to have put up with all of what we've put up with over the last, you know, 7 years. And then all of a sudden, someone had the benefit of all of the work that we did.
I can just tell you this, that he hasn't been here very long, Josh Gordon. There have been no issues that we know of, other than the late issue that the team swept right under the rug.
Which Ian was correct on that. Like, he was correct on that, like, that he was late. Like,
right.
He was
Oh,
late.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't think anyone doesn't believe the report. It's just the team made special accommodations for that player is what I think happened, right? They made special accommodations for a guy that maybe other players wouldn't get the same benefit of the doubt or the second chance that he got. But that's, you know, that's a player showing up late. That's not off the field real issues.
Yep.
right? I mean, players have shown up late before.
Sure.
So the issues that he has had, to our knowledge, have not been major issues.
The sort of real life issues.
It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's not you know, worried about a guy going out and getting in trouble at night or falling back into bad habits that lead to substance. It's none of those things.
Like Randy was late to meetings with the snow stuff and that, and he was sent home. But that was during the week. They ended up playing the next week. Yeah. It wasn't like they missed game time.
So I'll just say this, though. When we talk about the Patriots offense the way we have for the last, I don't know, half hour or more, yeah, and we talk about how can they fix it, not once does anyone bring up Josh Gordon as the fix. Nobody thinks that about the player.
He's not the fix.
No one views him that way.
It's where he fits. It's where he fits and what routes benefit him better. They need to figure this out during the break.
Well,
doesn't he run well? I know this. It's not the fade stop.
Okay, so
back shoulder. That ain't good.
He's been so Brady's
slants, goes, digs. That's it.
Brady's 18th year as the starter. Has there ever been that type of weapon that's been his go-to guy? Even when Moss was here, like, he would go to Welker when he needed to have it.
Yeah, but
like,
that's the bleep tease when you don't have
He's just like there's the piece of it like that. There's the reliability piece of it, I think, with Gordon, obviously, because that's his history. But I think the other piece of it is, like, Brady generally has been more reliant on inside weapons, like slots, yeah, and tight ends.
But when you had Randy Moss certainly took his share of the coverage,
yep,
and deserved and all the attention,
yep,
and was a big threat that would open things up underneath for guys like, yep, Welker. But with Gordon,
they haven't gotten. Well, so
I don't know that he is going to get the respect that maybe you need him to get.
Problem is, you're getting a shower with the guy.
I don't know. We talked a lot about the respect he would get walking through the door with all of his talent. I don't see a lot of that respect out there. Do you, though? You see a lot of teams saying, "Oh no,
that's a great point, though, because if you think about it right now, where they're at. If you're all right, so if you're
87,
say you're the Jets, right? And you're looking at that tape of the Titans game, right? Is there any skill player that they have that you look at and you're like, uh-oh, how are we going to deal with this?
No.
Nope. No.
I mean, it feels like a bunch of complementary weapons.
It seems like I'm waiting for Josh to catch one of those slants and just explode, run somebody over and then go.
Let's get a couple more.
Do you think Edelman's hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he left the game, ankle injury.
By the way, Julian Edelman will join us at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 11 a.m. Yeah.
So let's talk to the squirrel at 11.
Julian Edelman, yeah, right here on Zolak and Bertrand. Carol's in Concord.
Hi,
she's got
Carol.
A thought for Hardy. Carol.
Oh.
Good. Carol, you there?
I'm here. I'm going to change Hardy's life.
Ooh, what a tease.
When you pour the liquid detergent into the cup, throw the whole thing into the washer. When you take the wash out, the cup is fine and clean.
Mind blown. Wow.
If it even goes into the dryer by mistake, it does not melt or get damaged.
Wow.
And you know this, Carol, because you practice this regularly.
I do. Every day. I have twins, and I do it every day.
That's called a life hack right there.
Wow.
Now, can you do that?
What does life hack mean?
Life hack?
Yeah.
It means
Google it.
Yeah,
Carol's
Google
right.
Life hack. Now, Carol, let me ask you this. Does it work for the fabric softener cup, too?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Works for keys?
What do you don't know? Carol answer.
I dropped so much stuff.
We're talking to Carol now.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Yeah, it works for anything that you have to put into the laundry that's liquid form, and then you don't have to worry about rinsing the cup.
Because let me tell you something, Carol. I'm so opposed to rinsing and cleaning that cup anymore for the fabric softener. I just hold it over the little dispenser
on the counter,
thing.
And then you have to wipe the counter.
Oh, my God, who has time?
It's always leaky.
Yeah, so just throw it all in together, and sometimes you forget, and the whole thing goes into the dryer, and it's no big deal. You just take it out and find it.
Hold the line. I'm going to send you an autographed copy of Scott Zolak's book, If These Walls Could Talk. It's all about the Patriots.
Oh, I would love that. I love your show.
All right.
We're
going to put you on hold. Put you on hold. I'm going to
send it. Carol.
By the way, Carol, I'll be at Barnes & Noble at BU tonight from 6:30 to 7, signing copies. So if anybody
wants. Oh, no. Well, Carol, we're going to mail her one.
We're going to mail
her. She's covered.
Nice.
Max is in the truck. Hey, Max.
I'll send her mine.
Hey, what's up, guys? Sup, Zo?
I'll send it with the personal note. Hi, Max. Go ahead. Sorry.
Hi. So I was at the game on
Sunday. Is this
Sunday,
Max Lane?
And no.
Okay.
I was at the game on Sunday. I just got back last night. And this offense, I mean, Edelman looks hurt out there. And without Gronk, I mean, Gronk, the defense is double coverage him. And without him, I don't see this team going far in the playoffs.
Yeah, and without him right now, sorry to cut you off, Max, but we got to go. Without him now, I just think you're making your road tougher in the meantime. So it is going to be important for him to come back after the bye.
If Gronkowski is Gronkowski, it literally changes the math for defenses dealing with you. Because now all of a sudden you've got to devote extra attention. That creates opportunities for everybody somewhere else. That's what I'm talking about when I say the defensive coordinator sitting there looking at the Patriots and thinking to himself, uh-oh. Bert, there's not that uh-oh guy.
Appreciate you being here. We'll see you next week. Bert Breer, the MMQB. Brad Stevens, Boston Celtics head coach, next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, joins us now. Hi, Coach.
What's up, guys?
What's going on? What's going on with you?
How are you?
We're good.
Doing well.
We're good. So you haven't played since Sunday, and now you're getting ready for a matchup tonight with Chicago. What's been going on the last couple of days with the team? Based on the comments from Kyrie after Sunday night's game and then Marcus Smart yesterday, is there some soul searching going on there?
Yeah, of course. But what's been going on is we flew home on Monday, and it took all day, as you would expect, from the West Coast. And then we practiced yesterday, and now we're getting ready to play the Bulls tonight. So it's a nonstop league. And at the end of the day, you know, you only have so much time to lick your wounds and feel sorry for yourself. It's about playing better. And so, you know, I think that that is – without question, our focus. We spent much of yesterday really back to the basics and doing things that good teams do and doing them over and over and over. And we are, you know, we're a team that can look awfully good for 20 minutes a night, but it's not a 20-minute game.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you've told us this before, and specifically last week. When you guys are right, you guys are pretty damn good. And this is a funny league. You look around the league, there's some incidents here or there where veteran players mixing with young players. You feel you got a pretty good mix of guys, right? And there's not any really real division as to where young guys might not be focused as opposed to not having a right mix of veterans. You got a guy like Kyrie saying it'd be nice to have a 15-year vet in here to help lead. You guys are harmonious.
Yeah, my opinion on everything is that, you know, I never have worried about who we don't have. You know, I think a coach's job is to focus on getting the most out of the people that are in the building. We've got a lot of guys that can play a lot better, so as I said yesterday, that's on me. You know, we've got to put guys in better positions to play well, and then we just need to do it more consistently. When we're down 20, we've been awfully good. You know, we've played the right way on offense. We've played with great desperation and urgency. We've guarded our butts off, and so maybe it's as easy as putting 20 on a fake scoreboard behind our bench. Acting like we're down 20 from the start of the game. But I think that ultimately, you know, again, to me, when you're really rolling as a team, you know, I think coaches coach, players play, and everybody does their role exceptionally well. And I just think we all can be a little bit better.
You know, Kyrie's comments, if I could just go back to that, sort of indicate that he thinks there's, you know, a lack of a leader. And this is not something that we've ever really discussed about you or your team. Do you think that there is a lack of a leader among the players on the team?
Well, I don't want to make inferences for what people say. So, you know, I don't want to get caught up in a conversation without hearing someone say that. But I think that we've got a lot of guys that are more than capable of being very good leaders, have been very good leaders in the past, and have always stepped up when times have gotten tough. And I think one of the great signs about our team is, you know, you don't see a lot of extra outside stuff, even when we're struggling. You know, it's all, yes, we can be better. Yes, we know we need to do it. You know, I think there's a good accountability on our team. And I think that that's a huge, huge part of internal leadership.
Yeah, you know, Coach, you fly back, as you said, all day, and those things kick your tail, you know, coming back from the West Coast. I'm sure you analyze everything in your head. You watch the tape. And there's, regardless of the sport, I think there's breakthrough games for guys. Like a guy like Jason Tatum, who we talked to you last year, a long year. Yep. Long year as a rookie. Sunday was a damn good game for him. Fair to say that could potentially get him going here?
His best two games of the season, I thought, were Friday and Sunday. And, you know, we need him to continue to play well. And that doesn't mean he's going to score every night. You know, I think that, you know, it could be a 17-point game like against Utah, and then he can have a breakout game like it's 27 or 29. That's the gist of our team. It's not going to be your scoring night every night. We just need everybody to make the next right play and really focus on the things they can control. And when the ball finds you on that given night, because of either how we're moving it or how the defense is playing, or an advantage you've got, a matchup advantage, or out of calls, or whatever the case may be, then, you know, take advantage of it. And if it doesn't, we've just got to make sure that we move on to the next play. And I thought that he was really good on Friday and Sunday, and I'm really encouraged by that. But we've got to build, you know, we've as a team, it's not about being good, you know, for a couple of games or for a few quarters as a team. It's about being good every night, every minute. Playing the right way. And when shots aren't falling, you don't dig a 22-point hole because you're doing everything else right. And that, we're just not there yet. And, you know, again, that's why I think when you say a lot of soul searching and a lot of reflecting on the plane, that's why, you know, as coaches, I think that you always start with what you can do better. And there's obviously a lot that I can do better.
Gordon Hayward has said that he would be okay with a role change or coming off the bench. Have you considered either of those things for him?
Considered it for everybody. You know, I think that, but I don't think right now it's as much about our rotations. It's about everybody getting a little bit better. I do think there are times of the game where certain guys need to be in together, and maybe there's some combinations that we can have on the bench while others are in the game. And those are things that we're learning about this group. The starting unit has been interesting because it struggled out of the gate in a couple of games, and then it was dynamite out of the gate in a couple of games. Just needs some consistency. And so whether that is changing something in the starting lineup, Gordon, or otherwise, you know, you consider all of those things. But right now, as I told our guys at halftime of the Portland game, you know, one of the things that is our struggle is it's hard to tell what adjustments we need to make until we play the right way. And you can see when we're really urgent that we're playing the right way, we're pretty good. We just need to increase our urgency. That's kind of the bottom line of it. And then we'll figure out, you know, what our rotations need to be. But obviously you're always thinking about those changes. And inevitably, as you get into the playoffs in the NBA, you're going to make those changes anyways.
Yeah.
And so everybody's got to be on their toes, no matter who you are.
Speaking of everybody on their toes, any changes tonight against the Bulls?
Not that I know of. Not unless somebody comes with a, you know, unless I haven't gotten a call from the trainers or anything else yet, which you never know. But I think ultimately, I'm gonna let us have a chance to play better, and I think that's where we are. And you know, hopefully I'll coach better and we'll play better. And we'll get more out of the guys the way we've been playing, with a few small tweaks in how we rotate instead of necessarily when we sub.
You know, I've heard you say that a couple times in the last few days, which is coach better. Is there something that you look at and say that, you know, specifically you could do differently than what you've done so far?
You know, Mark, I've always thought the role of a coach. And first of all, I think when you're coaching a team, the sooner you can get to to not having to figure out rotations as much and not having to figure out who plays best together and how things fit and all those things. And you just start coaching basketball and you're coaching the technical parts of the game. That's when you can really roll. But until then, I think the role of a coach is to find the best of everyone. And, you know, we're not getting that. So that's on me. And that's kind of what I've been saying. Like, you see the great teams around is they get the most out of every single guy on that roster for what they do best. And we're not there yet. And so until we are, then, you know, I'll have a lot to work on.
Make you feel good that Marcus Smart says, you know what, we need to start playing better for Brad because he puts a lot in for us. And we got to fix this thing. It's about the players.
Marcus is a competitor. Marcus doesn't like to lose. Marcus will do anything to win. And Marcus is a guy that I think has actually made some real good strides this year in a lot of areas early on. And this has been a tough couple of months for Marcus. I mean, we're still only 6 or 8 weeks out from his mom dying. And, you know, he basically had no pre-training camp here in Boston. He wasn't here. And his number one supporter and number one fan, you know, is no longer here. And that is incredibly difficult. And it's pretty amazing how that kid has played and, you know, what he continues to be about. He's not perfect, and he would be the first to tell you that. But he cares, and he really cares about doing the right things and about winning. And I appreciate him saying that, but we all have a role to play. We just all have to play it a little bit better.
Brad, this is the this is November again, which means it's the fifth year of Dunk for Diabetes, nice. Which means every dunk Celtics players make this November, Sun Life Financial will donate $1,000 to the YMCA of Greater Boston's Diabetes Prevention Program, which helps adults at risk of developing diabetes improve their healthy lifestyle habits. I know that you've been associated with this program for the last few years, and the Celtics have done a great job with this. Are you going to encourage guys to maybe, you know, take it to the rim?
I was going to say, it's another reason to stop settling for long jump shots and drive the freaking ball.
Let's go against analytics. All right.
There's no better shot in the world than a dunk unless talking about me dunking, because that has no chance of going in.
Highest percentage shot.
Yeah. Okay. That's the pregame speech is, let's do it for the Dunk for Diabetes.
I love it.
Change our whole mindset. Maybe that'll get us going to the rim.
My middle one's afflicted with diabetes, so anytime you can get these guys going to the rim, it helps everybody out. We appreciate that.
And we need to do that, and then we need the next month, we need to do something about getting to the foul line, and then we need to do something about making the extra pass, and now we can get somewhere. Maybe we can do some outside
pick and rolls
pressure here.
The charitable efforts of this Celtics team by the end of the season will just be incredible. All right.
Terrible team in the world. That should be our goal, period.
Rebound for male pattern baldness. Yes. All January long.
Rebound for Serge.